Greetings to each one of you in Jesus' name. It is good to be here again, although I think that if I would have realized when Jason and I made the swap that I would miss hearing Brother Alwyn preach, why, I probably wouldn't have tried so hard to swap, because I would kind of like to know what God has wrought in his life, and sorry to miss that, but we are here to worship the Lord. He is to be praised. He has done great things, and it is a privilege to speak for him. You may open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. I wish to take a line out of one of Jesus' sermons that caught my attention this week when I read it, and I've been mulling it quite a bit since then, because when I read the line, I made a mental note, and then when I was done reading the passage, I went back to there, and I suddenly realized that the mental note that I had made was not what Jesus was actually saying. And I began to dig into this message of Christ to see what he actually was saying, and after a while, we had a number of thoughts that could be made into a message. So I want to read verses 1 through 25. And while I'm reading, I am going to give you an assignment, and that is just with your fingers or whatever, mentally clickers, whatever mental clicker you have, I want you to listen for the times that Jesus, in these 25 verses, talks about hearing. He's going to make a point again and again and again and again and again. And it seems to me that the reader ought to get that point if he's going to benefit by Jesus' message. Mark chapter 4, verse 1, "And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught many things by parable, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air, and came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth, and it immediately had sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth, some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were with him, the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are, excuse me, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these by the way these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which were sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, as such as hear the word, and receive it, and brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and are not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which should not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he hath that hath, to him shall be given, and to him that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Did you catch the redundant term, the redundant phrase? This thing of hearing. Hearken, hear, heard, hear. If you have ears to hear. How many times was it? If you go by hear, it's 11. If you add hearken, which is actually the same Greek word, it's 12. But you're very well. 11 times in 25 verses, Jesus is preaching. And he is telling the people, listen, hear. And when you have ears, hear with them. Hear, 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 hear. Do you think he got the point across? I wasn't so sure. What caught my ear, or my eye, because I was reading, was verse 24, when Jesus said unto them at the end of this sermon, take heed what you hear. And I made the quick equivalent or comparison in my mind that Jesus is calling for a carefulness or a diligence in being objective about what I subject my ear gate to. Because we do live in a time where you can hear an awful lot. On the job, you can hear anything from profane, vulgar speech to speech that is just laced with nothing but the world. This week I was on a project and there was two men, the state inspector, and I guess he was a maintenance helper or something, and they were just sitting on boxes over there while I was doing my work, and they were just talking. And they discovered as they talked that both of them were what I would call health nuts, and they were discussing which TikToks they watch and what podcasts they listen to, and how this fella here, he really has it together, and he can tell you what's all wrong and what all the government is hiding and what is unsafe about our food. And I knew that they listened to that stuff. And I knew that they listened to it and listened to it and listened to it and listened to it. And they admitted that there are several shows a week. Both of them, they agree, yes, they don't miss a show. They listen. And I thought that Jesus was saying, think about what you listen to and be careful what you listen to. But that is not what he was saying. That's a good thought and it's worthy of our contemplation, but it's not what he was saying. If you take that line in verse 24 and just pick up, well, my Bible app has, I think, somewhere between 20 and 30 either parallel Bibles or different translations, and they all say something somewhat similar. They say either take heed what you hear, or consider carefully what you are hearing, or be careful what you are hearing, or carefully consider the things you hear, or pay attention to what you hear. Jesus is saying that when you hear, do something with it. I think in everyday language, we talk about something going in one ear and out the other. And Jesus is begging us not to let something go in one ear and out the other. When you hear something, think about what you're going to do with what you just heard. And if you take that thought and back up to to what he has said here, it starts to make a lot more sense about why he says it over and over and again. In the introduction, I just wanted to point out that what I read to you is a portion of one of the five sermons that are recorded in the gospel by Jesus. There's five of them, and if you go to the book of Matthew, you can move through them in the order that they happen. You have the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You have the Sermon on Mission Work in Matthew chapter 10. You have the Sermon on the Kingdom Parables in Matthew 13. You have the Sermon on Interpersonal Relationships in Matthew 18. And you have the Sermon on End Times in Matthew 24 and 25. This is actually Mark's version of sermon number 3. And there is a couple of things that I want to point out about it before we drill down into what he was trying to get us to think about when we hear. This first thing I want to point out is this is the third sermon on the timeline of Christ's ministry. It's going to happen about in the middle. Now, Jesus' ministry was approximately 3.5 years on earth, from the time that he was baptized and he went out and got his had this temptation and came back, and the wedding at Cana happened, and from there to where he died on the cross was roughly a period of about 3.5 years. And some timelines started in AD 29, some started in the summer of AD 30. There's a little discrepancy there as you look at some of the different chronological Bibles. But this would have been either the summer of AD 30 or the summer of AD 31, depending which timeline you're going to start with. And there is a serious but subtle change in the way Jesus teaches with this sermon. Up till this point, when Jesus taught, he would teach very straight up. In other words, like on the Sermon on the Mount. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, but I say unto you, it needs to be this way." And the teaching was very straightforward, and the crowds followed him. But here in Mark chapter 4, there is a significant but subtle change. And for the first time, he does something he never did before. And that is that he's going to use a parable. And when he did it, it flummoxed the disciples, because they weren't used to Jesus teaching like this. They were used to him saying like it is. But all of a sudden, in this sermon, he shifted gears, as it were, and he starts to talk in parables. And they went into the back room, or aside, in verse 10, and they said, "Hey, what's up with that? What are you up to? Why'd you tell this story that we don't even know what it means?" And he says, "That's my point. From here on, teaching is going to be for those who want it, not for those who want a free meal or want to see some blind man see again or have some lame walk. We're getting serious now. I am calling people after me, and my teaching is changing." And that's what he explains in verses 11 and 12. That it's going to change. Does that mean he didn't love all men? Oh, no, he would still weep over Jerusalem. Does that mean he wouldn't heal Bartimaeus? No, he would heal Bartimaeus. And when Zacchaeus called out to him, he would go to his house. But Jesus had made a divine but subtle shift, and that is, as he began to teach, he was going to present truth that only the seekers would get. And that is why, at the end of the sermon, he says, "Now listen, be a listener. Don't just hear." And we know the human capacity. Are there any dads here that have had their children talk to them and they never heard it? So have I. And there's dozens of illustrations that way where the eardrum knocked on the three little bones and sent the signal up to the brain and nothing happened. But you can't do that with the teachings of Jesus. And if you do that, you will separate yourself from the truth. And it happened right here in this story. There was people that heard that story of a parable, and they walked away and said, "Whatever." And Jesus said, "Now the sheep are separated from the goats," so to speak. And he was doing it intentionally. He was raising the bar of discipleship. You see, the kingdom is not something you coast into. I believe it's in maybe Luke 13 or Luke 14, where he's talking about what it's like to become a disciple. And he says these words. He says, "Strive to enter in at the gate." And if you look up that word "strive," it's basically describing a wrestling match. It's talking about people just on edge, and they're moving back and forth, and they're looking, where's the crack for my advantage, and how are we going to make this happen, and what move shall I make? And all the focus is on entering in. And Jesus said, that's what it's like to be my disciple. And what he is doing is something sovereign, something Christ can only do, and that is, he is cutting through the chaff, and he is separating it out with his teaching. And the simple act that he calls for to be a difference maker, in my experience, is that when he teaches, I will listen. I will hear. Be careful what you hear. Think about what you hear. And he's going to go on through the telling of a parable to make a very basic point, and that is, if you hear, something will happen. He gives these four soils, and that's what he's talking about. Well, parables were a way to take seekers further. Jesus could not abide discipleship as a hobby, as a second job, as something we do when the season is right, but it was supposed to be primary and focus. And all these other things he would teach in the Sermon on the Mount will be added unto you. It would be interesting to know, when he had preached this sermon, it says that there was a great multitude gathered. So we think not dozens, but hundreds. Sometimes there were thousands of people. And it is such a large crowd that he climbs into this boat and he backs the boat away from the shore. And there's a couple of really simple engineering things going on when he does that. He knows that when he backs away from the shore on the water, people can see him better. He can see them better. There's a direct line for his voice to carry. And by talking on the water, it's a natural megaphone. And this is his way to reach the thousands. And he backs up and he talks. Listen. If you have ears, listen. And the sound carried up. But I have no reason to believe that everybody did. It was very normal. And what's interesting to me is that in the ministry of Christ, there are multiple places where it talks about people that no longer followed him. They went away. The young man went away sorrowful. And that only started happening when he started using parables. It's just something you can observe about the Gospels. And so the whole use of parables is a very, very powerful thing. Jesus says, today I'm looking for people that will, of their own volition, their own intent, their own purpose and commitment, they will go beyond just coming to me to see a miracle, to get a meal, or to be close to the wonderful one. And he knew what he was doing. Well, take heed what you hear. What are the working functions, or what are the working pieces of this thing of hearing? I talked a little bit in the beginning about the pattern that can be ours, and that is we just let it go in one ear and out the other. Well, he starts out this sermon with this word hearken, which is just the same word as hear, number 191 in Strong's Concordance, and it literally means to listen as an audience, to give audience. And there's even a line there in Strong's that talks about hearing with purpose or hearing with intent. In other words, as you listen, as you hear, and as you take it in, the eardrum communicates with the brain, that it goes beyond that action, and the brain begins to be the tool that sorts and places and analyzes and comes to decisions or puts that up on the shelf for further meditation. And that's what he's calling for. Listen. Yesterday, there was a wedding at Tyrone, and because it was my duty to marry them, I had the seat back here. And we had a message before we had the wedding ceremony. Now, I told someone after the words that the message was so excellent that I felt sorry for people who pay to go to marriage seminars. They could have just come to this wedding and got for free what others will pay for. Because Brother Leon had a very practical message. He took the text from Ephesians 20, where Paul quotes the words of Jesus, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And he said he's going to narrow this down to marriage, and he talked about five things that a marriage partner can give in a marriage that will be more blessed than if they would receive them. And very practical. But my point is that while he was preaching, I was sitting about right here. And I could watch. I could watch the hearing. You know you can do that. You know you can sit in front of people and watch while the preacher's preaching and you can watch the hearing. Sure you can. This is not a new thought. School teachers do it all the time in the school. They know if their students are listening or not, because our body language gives it away. And I knew that when the one girl was making eyes at the baby in front of her, she wasn't listening. She had no clue what Brother Leon's points were, because she was not. Oh, her little bones in her head were rattling because that action was going on, but she was not hearkening, okay? And the one fellow I saw on his phone, he wasn't. He gave it away. This is what happens when you go like this and you try to get your eyes to focus on the screen. Three little bones move, not much else. That's not hearing. This is not what Jesus was talking about. And so the first dynamic, working dynamic of hearing is to actually hearken or to listen. And when Jesus gave this third sermon, that was his first point. Now listen. Actually pay attention. Now when you go to verses 21 to 23, after he gives the parable and the explanation of the parable, then he has these couple questions that he wants to ask the disciples. And he talks about this thing of taking a candle and putting it under a basket or a bushel, which is what the word bushel means, or under a bed. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever stuck a candle under a bed or not, but I thought that was kind of a funny metaphor. One commentator said, that's almost silly, you would light the bed on fire. I don't know why in the world you would ever take a candle and light it and put it under your bed. There's just actually no explanation for it. Well, is there an explanation for listening to something and then not have it become part of you? Well, good point. Really what Jesus is saying is, okay, he says in this passage that you don't put the candle under a bushel. You don't put it under the bed. Don't you set it on the candlestick? In other words, there is going to be an outflow from the inflow. You light the candle, the light, and now you put it somewhere where it can come out. Manifest is the word he uses in verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Manifest the things you have heard. In the subject of listening to Jesus teach, the teachings of Christ, we are called by Jesus himself to let those things sink down into our ears and into our hearts and then work its way out. And there is only two ways that a light can be lit. And that is, number one, where you actually repeat the things that you heard. Okay? I told you a little bit about the sermon yesterday. I was listening. That's why I could tell you what was going on. I spoke it out. I said, and these five gifts were all started with the letter A, and so they were appreciation and admiration and, well, now I forgot the rest. But I remembered that much, and I can speak it to you. There's always a place to pass on the truth, whether it's Jesus teaching us directly or whether we've heard it through another Christian mouthpiece. There's always a place for that. But I know that you know that there is a problem with talking only about the truth that you have received. And that is that it doesn't take very long until people don't want to listen to us, because somewhere along the line, to be the channel of truth, there has to be a living action that is accompanying it. And this is simple stuff. You don't even want to listen to me preach if you don't have some assurance that tomorrow and yesterday I actually did it. Right? There's no way that you want somebody to stand here. You don't want Brother Leo to come up and have devotions, Brother Neil come up and teach Sunday school, unless you have some working knowledge that in the off times when they're not in this place, they're actually living out the things they tried to tell you. And this is exactly where Jesus is going to go with it, because he's going to tell this parable that says, listen, when you listen, one of four things is going to happen. And he goes down through of what the four things were. But we manifest the things in our life as it's lived. One of the things that I saw as a difference with this message as opposed to the Sermon on the Mount is that Jesus did not spend so very much time being very practical and specific. There is nothing in this sermon that lays alongside of, now if your enemy compels you to walk a mile, go with him twain. That was in the Sermon on the Mount. Very practical. But it seems like he is driving this point home, first of all, that his truth, his words, his teachings are coming out. And there has to be an understanding that as the light is received, as the truth is coming in, so it needs to come out. And when it does, it is a life that produces, it is a soil that produces fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. In verses 24 and 25, he talks about another dynamic of proper listening or proper hearing, and that is that when you have a person, when I am one of those who listens, and then I manifest, that is all correct. But there's something really, really important happening at the same time. And that is that he who listens and he who manifests will get some more to listen to. Okay? And the little word that we have is this is called growth. This is when we receive even more. And I just need to tell you that hearers grow and growers hear. And there is nothing like static Christianity. There's nothing like static discipleship, where you're just inert, and the reason you stay in the place where you are is because gravity is holding you there. There's no Christianity like that. And this is what Jesus is saying in verse 24, 25. Take heed what you hear, with what measure ye meet, or the way that you transmit the received truth into the life lived, the way you measure it shall be measured back to you. And all of a sudden, you have this group of people sitting by the seaside, and some are going to go away with nothing, some are going to go away with more, and those who go away with more will in the future get even more, because that's how they're living. It's a working dynamic of hear and grow, grow and hear and grow and hear. And we move on through our lives, and the teachings of Christ are ever expanding and fulfilling in our lives, and they are ever expanding and filling in our lives. And we don't live our lives in circles. Hebrews will tell us that we don't return again to the doctrines of baptism and repentance again, but you grow on. And this is what Christ is calling for in his sermon. Listen so that you grow. Manifest it, and to him that hath, to him more shall be given. He doesn't use the word more. I put it there, but it's true. And him that hath not, or him that the sound waves come in, but it does not transmute into letting your light shine or manifesting out the teachings of Christ, him, what he has, even that is taken away. See, there's nothing static about being non-Christian either. In the beginning of the passage, he talks about those in verse 11. He says that the kingdom of God is a mystery, which means there's secrets to it. And unto them that are without, all things shall be done in parables. And I marvel at how you can take any assembly. Perhaps you can have a very, very, very special seminar, or maybe it's a communion service where everybody in there is united and completely on fire for the Lord, and the teachings of Christ are a flowing dynamic of hear, process, manifest. Here, process manifest. But the normal cross-section of our assemblies is that there are some that are going to have the word snatched away because the soil is hard. There are some that are going to hear the word and say, yes, let's. And there's a certain emotionalism that really, really tries right now to really glory, hallelujah, do it. And then the fire flies out, burns out. And it's like this seed that is growing on hard dirt. And you can't ever get the roots down. This is the way Jesus told the story. You can't ever get the roots down. And it springs up, but when the sun comes out, which is a cross-section of our afflictions or the things that are hard, persecution is the word Jesus uses in verse 17, they are offended and they say, well, nuts to that. I quit. And the seed goes to naught. And this happens. This happens. And there's this weedy soil. Seed goes down, roots go down, rain comes down, plant grows up, grow, except that there's something right alongside of it that is doing exactly the same thing. And the subtle difference is that the thing that is right alongside of it is growing just ever so much more so quicker. And by the end of the day or the week or the month or the season, the bigger thing has choked, strangled, controlled the amount of time invested. Did you ever hear somebody say, I ought to read my Bible more? That is way more than what you just said. It really is. That is a sign of choking. One writer said, it is a mystery how people can never, ever skip three meals a day, but can hardly get one a day in a spiritual sense. He said that. He said, it's a mystery. It's a secret. How does that happen? Well, maybe it's not as secret as we think. But these are the soils. And Jesus was giving this parable to open eyes and help. And people walked away from the shore that afternoon. And they were thinking about themselves, and they were thinking about what they had heard, and they were deciding, am I one of those that is going to walk down this road and get to my village and go in my hut, and never again will that truth stir my soul? You know, that's how I did the last time when Jesus was up there on the mountain. He told all those things. I can't even remember what he said. And I didn't do anything with it either. And you begin to mull on that. And of course, the beautiful thing is, Jesus doesn't even mention it in this parable or in this teaching. But there's actually a spiritual force that is right there with you in the hut. When a listener goes home and he begins to think, Jesus has provided a spirit that comes and communes with you in the hut and helps you to sort through whether this is a crusty trail that a seed has no chance of ever getting a root down in, or whether it's really gravelly, shaly, not so good dirt that we can go through the motions of planting but not much comes out of it, or whether it's over here in the low ground where there is moisture, but there is no weed control and the competition is great, or whether it's just the right piece of ground and all the conditions are right and the wheat is going to be 100 bushels to the acre when we only sowed one. That's called a hundredfold. And it's a glorious thing. But when Jesus gave these four soils, it was clear that he was giving very real. It's not just a fork in the road. It was a fork in the road. And so if you were on the shore while Jesus was in the boat and you were listening, just paying attention, you were going to walk away and it would be ascribed to you which one you were. You see, hearing matters because something always happens. Maybe I'm stretching when I say something happens if nothing happened, but maybe nothing is something. Something happens when we hear. And Jesus is saying, listen, every man has the opportunity when he hears to listen and then to manifest and to grow. And this was his burden. And until we get this lesson, there's not much else that Jesus can teach us, wants to teach us. We simply have to understand the power of intent and the responsibility we have. It is true that in that third soil there is competition. It is true that in the first soil there is a Satan. He says it's Satan that cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. But the reality is that sown in with that thought is 11 times he called you first to hear. And the listener has this unshakable responsibility. There's no way to cast it off. My duty that when Jesus speaks, I ought to listen. And it's not just an exercise of the eardrum, but it is rather a receipt of the truth in through the gate to the mind, down into the heart, and out through the life. And when that is in place, you have a field that is going to grow a crop that the world can admire and Christ can bless. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, thank you for the record we have of the teachings of Christ that are so important to our everyday experience. Help us, Lord, to hear the message of Christ, to see his burden, to hear his burden, that we would be people who listen, then manifest, and then grow. That listen and bring forth fruit to your honor and glory. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Help us to apply it to our hearts. Help us to see specific areas where we have become soil that is hard. And Satan is able to crush the truth before it ever grows into anything. Help us to see where our hearts are stony and truth has had a very difficult time to even sprout and grow and then perish. Help us, Lord, to be honest with the values of our lives, to see the weeds that grow up, that take away our time for fellowship, that take away our time for Christian service, that take away our time to be one with you. Help us, Lord, to be this fertile soil, which is a possibility for all of us. Help us, Lord, to be, even if it's only 30-fold, we praise you for that opportunity. Help us to seize it. Bless this congregation. Bless those that are sick. Bless those that are away without the responsibilities. Lord, continue to bless your people for your glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.